What is going on, guys? And welcome to the Floating Island Podcast.
If there's something that you want to know, if there's something, show me where to go, if there's something that you want to know,
All right. Well, as always, I hope you guys are having a great day, week, month, year. And whatever you're doing, I just realized I have you on and mom's going to want to listen to this episode, so I'm not going to swear. I hope you're living your best life and you're always just, you know, freaking living it up. But appreciate you guys doing this. What is going on? I got Nathan and Jen with me today.
Yep.
Yeah. What's up?
Finally, it's been a minute since you wanted to have us on here.
Yeah, and I only got you for a little bit right now.
Well, yep, we got a good 30 minutes, but hopefully we'll have longer ones in the future.
Yeah. It's real. There we go. I don't know. Mute this so we don't have team all of them. But yeah, no. Well, I mean, I guess big things for you guys. I mean, again, congratulations getting engaged. Yep. Now the world knows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good time. It's a really good time.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Everyone's kind of celebrating, and I mean, it's just what? It's a bunch of partying now, huh?
No,
some straight hard back work. Into,
she hard starts work. School tomorrow for pharmacy. And
well, it was partying. It was good times and hanging out with family. But now,
this weekend, yeah.
Now it's back to the grind.
Yeah.
Now this weekend was fun. It was cool.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, you getting your white coat.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, got my white coat. And yeah, the reason is why we get it at the beginning is because you need it in every lab that you do every week, because you have to act like you're an actual pharmacist every week, even though you're just practicing as a student pharmacist.
Oh, yeah. It's like, what's the saying? Practice like you play. Is that the saying?
Practice what you preach.
No, practice what you preach. No, it's like why do you practice? You practice like you play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're
like. What was the saying? It'd be like in football. It'd be like practice like you're
perfect.
Mm.
Which one?
No. That's one of them. Practice what you preach.
Yeah. Practice. No, there is a saying. I don't remember what
it was. Yeah, it was like practice like it's game day.
Yeah,
it's like along the line of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember it, though.
But yeah, it's probably part of it.
Yeah.
Is making sure that you're prepared for when it happens. That way it feels routine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the significance of the white coat? Like, what started the whole white coat? Do you know? Did they ever talk about it?
No.
They're like, oh, this, like, they started wearing white coats because of this.
Mm-hmm. It's really
my guess was probably sterile. One, it covers you down to almost your knees, right? Or most, like, lab coats.
I think I remember.
And then
it's because it is a lab
also
coat,
if you spilled on yourself. Or
that's
any
why.
Type of, like,
it was because it was white, and in case you got it in, like, blood or contaminated, it was easy to see.
That's what I would think.
Oh,
that would be my guess.
It was easy to spot. Be like, oh, I got shit on me. Yeah. Oh, crap on me. Sorry, one slip up. We're at one.
Yeah,
I'm at one. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's what mom says. If she ever hears me swear, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I'm at one slip up. That's fine. No, but no, that's cool. I mean, and then what field do you plan on going in with that? Like pharmacy? Like you don't plan on doing like sports medicine and stuff like that? What field
no,
do you? Kinda
I'm thinking
actually,
of
what?
Just doing hospital pharmacy.
Like you want to work in hospitals?
Yeah, I'm thinking about hospital pharmacy, but also too, it depends on what state you're in. But New Mexico allows pharmacists to be injectors as well of Botox, so we could all go aesthetic.
So would you make more money going into that field?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and pharmacists are one of the highest paid occupations, just naturally.
Yeah,
it's one of the highest paid.
Yeah, look how much like medicine and vaccines and stuff you guys are pushing. There's so much money in that industry.
And that's what school is for, though. I'm going to learn with all the rotations that I have what I do like. I mean, I could be saying hospital and, you know, Botox and all this stuff now, and it could totally 180.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
it could
you
change
know,
tomorrow.
4 years, yeah, could change tomorrow, and 4 years
so
is
you
a
know,
long
you're
time.
Like, I
want to
be,
know?
You know, I want to be a fireman.
Yeah.
I'm done with pharmacy.
I'm done with pharmacy, yeah.
I'm done with this. Yeah, no, I mean, you have your entire life to keep just switching it up if you wanted to.
Exactly, yeah, and I can go into a lot of specialties, and hopefully with the advocacy that we have set forth, by 2030 we should be primary care providers, so. Oh. That'd be cool. Yeah. Because really, we do the same things as medical students. They just have more emphasis on the body and anatomy, and ours is more chemistry-based to know reactions between different drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot. That would hurt my brain. I wouldn't be able to keep up with it.
Yeah, it's not my realm of specialty.
Yeah,
we're a good pair, because he's the business side, and I'm all the medical side, so it works out.
Yeah, there you go. Well, yeah, if you ever get hurt, man.
Yeah, I know she takes care of me.
There you go,
make sure we're good financially.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was, like, even thinking about, like, just switching up. I was even thinking, like, look how much, you've switched up on stuff. I mean, you went from wanting to, like, UFC. Now you're, like, a realtor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, the UFC or the MMA fighting, it was fun. It was definitely fun, but I think it wasn't practical, especially at that time, just because...
Well, you don't think if you ran with it, you don't think you could have gone pretty deep with
that? No, I think I could have gone deep, but it was just, like, what was the risk versus reward at that point? You know, you had people that were on the prelims of a UFC card making a couple grand per fight.
Yeah, but
you fight three times a year at, I don't know, 10 grand.
I guess, but
if
it comes down to the love of the sport, like, why you're doing it. Like, those guys that are making $2,000 are like, yeah, but they're dreaming of world titles. They want the UFC.
But even world titles, even that's the big thing with the UFC fighters is pay. Yeah. That's why a lot of them got mixed in the boxing. That's why you saw the whole uproar of, you know, people.
What about, like Conor McGregor, though? He's, like, the exception. He's the one that, like, where he just made so much money just because he was, like, eccentric.
Well, no, but think it came from the sponsorship side. Proper 12, the Mayweather fight.
Yeah. Well, Proper 12 is his. He made
that.
Yeah. He had gotten money before that, though, so it was just sponsors before.
He had the name. He had the name and the fame, and then he put a business behind it and ran with it. And so, you know, he is one of the exceptions, but you look at a lot of these other fighters, and they'll retire from the UFC and not have very much left over, you know. That's one of the big things with – that's why you have so many fight leagues coming out, PFL, bare-knuckle boxing.
Yeah.
It's because other people are trying to advocate for fighter pay. Cause yeah, when I was fighting the first like pro contract, it would've been $1,000 for 3 fights, and I had already broken my nose. I already had stitches from another fight.
Yeah,
that would cover the medical bill, you know.
Not even
the medical bill. So that was the point where I was like, okay, I can either, you know, continue this or pursue a career in sales, because I was in the car industry at that point. And I was like, well, I was making good money in the car industry, so I was like, okay, let's give this a try. And then sales was bread and butter for me.
Yeah.
And then that evolved into leaving the car industry into real estate, which was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was crazy, dude. It was just crazy thinking, like, but there was, like, a 6-month period I was working there with you.
Yeah, yeah, you can attest to the sales industry. It's tough.
Yeah, the sales industry.
It's a tough industry to be in. But it sharpens your teeth, and that's what makes you a good business person.
Yeah, it toughens your skin. Mm-hmm. And the guys there, I mean, sales dudes are always just a hoot, man. They're always, I mean, like, there is a breed, like, a breed of guys that go into sales. And it's like almost like a watered down military guy version of, like, same kind of joke, same kind of humor.
Oh, yeah, you'll see that.
Yeah, it's like very, very, like, you know.
Well, I don't know, because that's car industry. Like,
maybe
it's like the different types of sales industries are different.
Yeah.
Like when you go to like tech sales, it's very like online based. So you don't have a whole lot of like in-person meeting and like things like that. But when you have the reason too, is you have to think the car industry, you have a management chain. And so you have people that are breathing down your neck that are wanting certain types of numbers. And then you have an entire generations leading in the car industry that were partiers, that were, you know, drugs were involved and things like that. So the culture was already there. And it continued through, where if you go to like real estate, you know, you don't have a manager, you're a 1099 contractor, so, or 1099, so you don't have anyone breathing down your neck. If you produce, cool. If you don't, cool, we're not going to, you know, give you resources. And so it's just a different, your mentality changes, so your interactions with on a professional basis change. The humor disappears.
Yeah.
You're more growth-centric and... You know, so it's just, it's interesting. Because then, yeah, like I said, I mean, there's so many different types of sales industry. But you do have that typical, I mean, there are characteristics that come from the car industry into real estate, you know, such as how you present yourself and how you talk and, you know, how you control conversations too, you know, how you can kind of pivot conversations to get to the goal that you want.
Well, it's probably the biggest thing what you say, like kind of sales is like the battle of the minds. I mean, you're trying to get someone to commit, and I mean, you're trying to drain their The like, hey, commit and buy, spend all this money on what with you, it's houses now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, I mean, the two industries I worked in, the car is the second biggest purchase someone will make in their lifetime, house being the first. Yeah. So now I have the top two purchases someone, an average person, will make in their lifetime, and yeah. I've now become experienced and have expertise in both. So, yes, I do get, like, there is the sales side, like, vacation homes, which I don't necessarily, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that industry, but, I mean, the two purchases that I at least learned, people need transportation, and people need a house to live under.
What was that one guy's name? He was in sales with us. He got the Tacoma. He was a friend of yours in college. He was another, well, like, kind of beefy dude. Steven? Was it Steven? Yeah, he had the Tacoma.
He did have a Tacoma, I think, at that time. Maybe. Yeah, I think it was
Steven. He looked like an all-American poster boy. Steven, yeah. Yeah, Steven. Yeah, didn't he end up, after the car sales, he went into that, like, where he was, like, vacation homes with, like, leasing?
No, he's there.
He's still at the car? He's a
manager. I got him up to manager, and that's when I left.
He's still there?
Mm-hmm. He's been there, yeah, almost longer than I have now.
Oh, man, it wasn't him. It was someone. I swear it was someone. They went into they were, like, leasing those vacation homes. You get, like, timeshares. The good old, you sit in those rooms at the tables and people sit down and you sign something and you get, like, the bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
I can't remember who did that, but that seems like...
That's what I'm saying is different.
Like, That one seems different.
They're, you know, a car is a depreciating asset, so I wouldn't say that. But, like, a house, that's the easiest way to build wealth in your, you know, the easiest way to build personal wealth, I would say.
Oh, like, are you talking about, like, when you, like, start renting out houses or, like, Airbnbs? No, just even
equity. I mean, just even equity. If you, rather than putting your money towards rent, you know, you'd put it towards an actual purchase. Because rent, you're filling someone else's pockets.
Right,
you're paying someone else's mortgage, interest, things like that. Now, you're just paying into your own home the equity. I mean, I was just able to pull out equity on the first purchase that I made. And now I can buy a second property because I had just lived in a house for 2 years instead of renting. And so, I mean, I think it's something crazy. But, like, over 90% of millionaires are made out of real estate. And it's just because it's one of the easiest ways to build personal wealth.
Yeah. Yeah, you just have to be good fixing up houses and stuff.
No, you just have to buy a home and sit in it.
Yeah, you buy a home. Yeah, and then after you've done it, I mean, you're going to want to rent it out. You're going to want it to look nice and stuff. Yeah.
Or you sell it while you have the equity and you upgrade into a nicer house. But either way, a house is an appreciating asset. So even without you paying principal down, you know, even from last year to this year, we saw, at least in New Mexico, an $11,000 increase per house in just value, like over a home equity. So without doing anything other than paying my mortgage, which I would have been paying rent anyway, I put $11,000 in the bank in equity for just living in it for that 1 year.
Oh, yeah, man.
And people that bought before COVID.
More on that side.
People that bought before COVID, my house value went up $100,000 and I didn't have to do anything. I just lived in it.
And I don't know anything about that either. I know nothing. That's why I'm saying he's the business that, you know, handles all that stuff for us, and I'm the medical.
But it's so good knowing that stuff, though. I definitely know.
I wish I knew it earlier, you know. I would definitely wish that I knew some of the stuff I know earlier, because I would have bought property a long time ago. Best time to buy real estate was yesterday, and the second best time is today.
Huh. That was kind of... It's kind of a cool saying.
Yeah, like, it's true.
It's just like a life saying. It's like, hey, no time like the present.
Yeah.
I don't know any of that finance side. Just crazy. And I don't understand the people that, like, truly love that stuff, that, like, go into, like into financing, that do other people's finances, like, for a job. Like imagine, like, doing other people's finances for a job. I mean, you're already doing yours very well.
Well, but I mean they probably, because I bet you it's like anything else, once you figure out, like, patterns and stuff like that, it's probably easy. You get a client, you look at their situation, you've seen it probably 10 other times, maybe a little bit different, and then you plug and play.
Well, yeah, but then even then the initial getting into it, you're gonna have to have a desire for it. They'll be like, yeah, finances.
But I mean, if you're interested in building your own personal wealth, that's a great industry to go into and figure out how to build your own.
That's true. You learn from, like, these super rich people, like, while you're working for them. Well, like, how did they build theirs? You're getting educated
on how to invest their money, so why wouldn't you do the same with your money?
Yeah, you're investing theirs, and you're like, you know, I'm going to put some into this, too.
And especially with the world, how it's changing, too. I mean, now investments are probably going to be the most important. You don't have pensions anymore, or they're disappearing. You know, Social Security, everyone says, won't be existing a little bit too.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a lot of people, and it happens already, a lot of people show up at 65 years old and they don't have a retirement. Because then what do you do? Like, if you don't want to work at 65 years old, what do? If there's not Social Security. And Social Security is not very much.
Mm-mm. Don't make much.
You know? Like, what do you do? What's income? Do you want to continue working when you're 65? No.
No.
And so people,
I mean, there are some people that are the people, like, I mean, I think Dad's one of those guys that he's going to grind until he dies. Like, you see, I see you, like, wanting to work, and you, I mean, I see you grinding for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, late, like, probably late into your 50s.
And, I don't, I see.
And, then Jen's going to be the one to tell you, like, dude, just retire, bro.
That's, yeah.
Like.
I mean, I think I want to stay active, and I think.
I don't know.
Staying active is important, but Dad, I mean, I see Dad retiring. I see Dad likes to boat, and Dad likes, there's a lot of other passions. Yeah,
Dad has.
He'll still volunteer. Don't
exactly. I think he likes working though. He likes always having something working.
But I bet you there will be a time that he'll take a step back, because eventually there is a time and place for being able to take a step back. Travel. All you can do is then visit family at that point, and just, you know, that's your opportunity to. And I mean, luckily Dad has, you know, the military, and he does have some things set up so that they do have a retirement plan.
But oh, that's true.
That's a simple.
But it also did take a lot of sacrifice to get that.
Yeah,
you know,
well, 20+ years in the military.
Yeah,
a lot of, like you said, missed, you know, graduations, and
you missed my birth.
Your birth.
Yeah, there was a sacrifice that came with that. But I mean, we also have the life that we do because of that. So
yeah, but also I think Dad had a passion for what he was doing. He definitely enjoyed his time in the service.
Yeah,
I think that's worth sacrificing certain areas in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on this world, I think, like, to chase our happinesses, you know, to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And I mean, at the end,
well, the only thing I would say, a devil's advocate to that, because I think it's a big thing in society right now, that everyone is pushing this agenda that if it's not happy, doesn't make you happy, don't do it, or if it doesn't make you happy, exit, right?
No, I mean, indeed, as far as, like, what, like, job-wise? Like, what you're doing career?
Anything-wise.
No, see, okay, so, like picking up trash. No, it doesn't make me happy, but I'm going to do it because I want to keep this area clean. Kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, but I also think that there is a lesson to be learned with doing something that you don't want to do, you know, in order for, yeah, I mean, like, for an end goal. So, yeah, you said, I don't like to pick up trash, but I'm talking bigger, like, sacrificing 10 years in a corporate setting so that you can learn the industry and then branch off and do your own thing.
Yeah, but like, okay, so if that was your happiness, right? So your ultimate goal, I want to open a business. I want to do a business, but I know nothing about it. I'm going to have to grind in a corporate world for 5 years, 10 years to be able to open a business. I would do that. No, would grinding in that 10 years make me happy? No, but the ultimate goal, like the ultimate happiness, is to own the business.
Yeah.
So to get there, I have to go through.
How many people actually do that?
Well, then they will never get to their happiness. They will.
But everyone wants the easy way out.
That's what I feel like.
Yeah. But then, so what they're gonna do is they're gonna find they're gonna basically in their heads be like, and find a new happiness. They're gonna convince themselves.
What they do is they jump. So that's why I think like relationships right now too. Are so, like, good relationships, I feel, unless you, at least from social media perspective, you know, I feel like a lot of healthy relationships don't even show on social media. But if you're not happy, cool, jump. If you're not happy, if they're not supporting your happiness, cool, jump.
Oh, okay, so, like, you know, relationships.
No, but, like, you're saying in general, like, chase your happiness.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's a big agenda right now, though, that chasing your happiness, it's short-term happiness for a lot of people, but it means don't be uncomfortable.
You
don't see that trend?
No, I would. I'd say people jump ship. I wouldn't say it's like a happiness jump ship, though. I would say people are just becoming pussies. That, like, they go, this offends me, and then they leave.
Yeah, if it's
no
not,
one's
if
willing
it's
to
not
take conflict
in. If it's not for you, leave.
And everything, I slipped up again. Take that. Sorry.
And everything's triggering nowadays.
Exactly. Well,
everything,
that's why I say, okay, everyone's
triggering.
Wimps. Everyone's kind of like, everything's like, not even wimps. Like, I don't want to offend anyone, and like, I don't mean it, but the culture is very much like, oh, if I don't like something, I can either run away or you need to stop.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of, yeah, I see that.
Everyone wants to be a victim.
But yeah, no, there is a victim like culture for sure. But I'd say when I say chase your happiness, it's and okay with switching. That there's nothing wrong with that. I think there's a difference, like say a relationship, if she's not supporting one of my dreams, okay, we're gonna work this out real quick. We'll figure it out. Like, you don't just jump ship. Oh, she's not making me happy anymore. And it's like, it's been like 2 days. She hasn't made me happy in 2 days. I need to leave. No, that would be dumb.
Well, no,
like,
but yeah.
Test it out. Like, yeah, we figure it out. Like, and then a couple months go past and it's like still like on the same problem. Then, yeah, maybe. Maybe I'm like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe we do need to see other people. Like, maybe we're just on two different paths. Maybe it's just not our moment right now.
Yeah.
That's fine. Don't just jump ship at any little inconvenient. Work through it. But ultimately, keeping your happiness and goal, like, knowing how to ask yourself, like, am I happy? Like, am I on my right path?
Yeah.
I think that was, like, one of the biggest lessons I also took from, you know, school. If I had given up right away, my entry-level biology my first year of college, I had to take it 3 times just to pass.
Yeah.
And I didn't give up, though. I mean, mm-hmm. It was discouraging and it was hard, but you have to keep going, like you said, to keep your goal in sight. And I knew I wanted to be something in the medical field.
And are you happier because you kept
absolutely.
Going?
Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely.
No, no, but I was just saying, whenever people say that, because it's such a big thing, chase your happiness.
Yeah.
I just feel like more people have to put the disclaimer
afterwards
and have this conversation where it's like,
exactly,
hey, chase your happiness. Oh, that might mean that you're going to sacrifice
and go through some hard times.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, exactly. But like, so see, at the same time, I'm like, you're happier for it. But like, knowing that you could just switch up if you wanted to.
I could have gone straight into business.
Yeah, if you woke up tomorrow
and
you're like, I want to work in a zoo. I want to be an animal handler now.
Yeah, but then
like being cool.
Where do you draw the line between impulse and?
Oh yeah, sit on it. Don't be like, yeah, but like, start exploring it. Like, if that does pop in your mind, it's not random. Like, if you suddenly woke up and you're like, man,
I don't know. People are impulsive, too.
People are very impulsive.
I've woken up and been like, oh, that'd be cool to do, you know? But then at the same time, it doesn't mean it's practical. But, yeah. But that's what I'm saying, though, in society. I feel like that line has been blurred a lot. Where now you have people that will do 3 month, you know, not even 3 month. They'll try something for a month. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
They're like, boom, try it for a month. It fails. And they exit. And it's like, okay. Well, in reality, like for a business, your first 2 years could be in the red, you know?
Yeah.
It could take 5 years for you to even be profitable. And so I think that whenever you talk about that subject, I just like to put the little disclaimer like, hey, yes, it's about happiness and making sure that your well-being and mental health and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that you're not going to struggle. It does not mean that you're going to have to sacrifice.
No, there's a grind.
Yeah. Like, and even when you talk about your passions, with goals, you know, I think this is another important part, but like in a relationship, you may have to set goals aside.
I'd say on the other side of that, don't get in a relationship then if you're not wanting to put your stuff aside. Like one of the reasons I'm staying single is because like I realize I don't want to set any goals or anything I want to do aside. I don't want to. I just want to be able to pick up and leave if I needed to.
Yeah, and like, that's a decision for you.
Exactly.
But I'm saying like but at the same time we are a relationship. Like, I truly believe humans are a relationship. You know,
I still don't think you should have to put it aside in a relationship. I feel like
no, you absolutely have to compromise.
Give me an example. Give me an example of like
we compromise every day.
Well, no,
but like where you have to set aside a goal. Of yours because of the relationship.
What would be a good example of like I'd say for instance like I don't want it to sound bad, but you know, like on the competing side, like I do bodybuilding competing. Yeah. But now that she's in school, what I'm going to do is try to actually do shows only when she can go and actually be there and support. So that's pushing my timeline, you know, to compete in different ways.
Well, why couldn't you do shows even when she's not there?
Because like, I prefer her to be there.
She can be there when she can be there. But she understands that with her schooling, she's not going to be able to be there all the time. You can still support
but
FaceTime right before, FaceTime after.
But it's not just show day. That's part of it. The 2 weeks leading up to show day too, if it's in the thick of her like exams and stuff like that, I'm not a nice person to be around for those 2 weeks. You know, there's a huge swing in mood and just how I operate as a person just because I'm depleted and running on, you know, 1,200 calories a day.
Yeah.
And so what I would say too, when she has those times off and those breaks and we can plan the trip, okay, well then she also has the ability to spend those 5 days before the show supporting me to the fullest. So even though I'm compromising because she has an overall goal of school, you know, she also will compromise at the end of the day when she has a break. She may have to spend a couple of days with just supporting me for that part of the dream too. You know, so there are, I mean, luckily our synergy is really good and we luckily haven't had to compromise a lot. But I also think, I mean, say, for instance, I wanted to, I don't know, travel and be a motivational speaker at some point. Well, what if we have a kid too?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm probably going to have to compromise. That means that I may not be able to go on tour for, you know, a year or two because the kid's going to be in the picture now too. And she may need support because she also could be growing a career in pharmacy and, you know, starting a business there. Cool. I may have to take a step back and push that off, you know, in order to make sure that she's able to succeed, set her up correctly.
Right.
And then me be able to go, you know, into that
stuff. No, those are good examples of,
But a lot of people aren't really willing to do that. People it's like, yeah, it's exactly. like, I'm going to be a motivational speaker.
Bye.
Cool. You know, oh, we're
come
having
with
a kid.
Me if you want.
I'm bouncing, you know, because I can't handle that responsibility. Where at the end of the day, I mean, there is going to be compromises when you get in a relationship. And that's okay. Because at the same time.
What happens in motivational speaking is pulling in like a ton of money and the wife is just able to be a stay-at-home wife with the kid.
Because, well, yeah.
And he's just out there touring.
If that works. But then at the same time, too, there's a balance.
Yeah.
I make more money. But then my relationship with my wife and the kid are less. I make less money.
Nannies, man.
My relationship.
What about a nanny?
That's not my relationship, though. I'm not there. I don't get to experience it.
I mean, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, yes. Does money make you happy? No. Does money make it easier to be happy? Sure.
Yes.
It lessens a lot of problems. It makes it a little bit easier.
So
stress
money
and
make,
stuff like that.
It can make you happy.
But at the end of the day, too, can you take money with you?
No.
Can you take memories
with
you?
You can't. No.
Well, but I can.
You can't take anything with you, my dude.
What can I do though? If I can sit on my deathbed and reminisce about all the memories that I had with
people. Yeah, you can look back and probably have a lot more.
Or I can throw dollar bills at the wall because that's what I had left. You know.
Yeah, sitting on your solid gold deathbed.
Yeah, that. I mean, to me, that's where I go. You know, would I love to be like rolling out of
or if,
Lambo
well, if you're
a
that rich, you really think you're gonna die?
Like
you don't think that you don't think the real rich have an like a mortal serum already?
Not immortal. I think you can prolong it, but not immortal.
Were they just switching their brains
our
into younger
bodies
or some shit?
I don't think our biology.
Ah, crap. I mean, crap. Three.
I don't think our biology would support long-term life.
I don't. What if we were able just to switch our brains? You just
if they can reverse.
You just move your brain into a younger
host's
body.
We'd have to get everything else transplanted, though, because, I mean...
No, why? You just need
everything
your brain.
Can age as well. I mean, yes, you need your brain, but your organs...
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, what if you took your brain just and put it into a younger body?
They
just abduct young people and just, you know, cut up in their brains.
Bodies for you.
Take their brain out and then put your brain in it. You get a new look. You get to select who you look. You're like, ooh, I want to be a Puerto Rican this time.
But I'm not going to... This is what I would say, though. I'm not going to base my... entire life on the possibility of a gamble of me living forever.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, I could be like, cool, I'm going to work my hardest, and then age 75, I'm like, oh, I'm still dying at 85, 90. Cool.
I think if I was that, if I got just dumb rich somehow, just like, you know, had one of those things, I was just like, wow, I'm just like millions and millions. I would throw millions at trying to find like ancient like areas, like you know, like the Garden of Eden.
Oh yeah, like the Fountain of Eden.
I would totally do some tomb raiding stuff, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That would be cool. But yeah, but like I said, I mean, I'd rather have better relationships than more money, in my opinion. Because again, like I said, it'd be awesome to roll out of a Lambo and a mansion, or I can own a house that I'm comfortable with in a car that's nice, maybe not a Lambo. But then I have a great relationship with my family and the friends around me.
I mean, but there are some people that just, I mean, don't even like the world. They would rather just be rich and alone.
Yeah, but have you ever talked to those people?
No, because they don't want to be left alone.
I know, but I mean, that's what I'm saying is, but you do see a lot of what? You see a lot of depression, a lot of suicide, a lot of drug addict in fame.
Oh, well, and fame. I wasn't even talking about fame.
Mental.
Fame is different, though. You got to think
no,
fame.
But even rich. Even people that are rich.
I don't know. There are some rich people that are just kicking it, man. They're probably just out there kicking it. Like, you got to think. There's
like, I think one of my favorite is like, did you know 2 Chainz like lives in a $400,000 house?
Yeah.
He's so humble. Yeah. He has the money and the means to have the most amazing net worth. But he's worth a good amount.
You think? I never know, because 2 Chainz has been around a while. Was he ever one of them rappers that threw his fortune away when he like just made it famous?
I don't think so, because he's still prevalent.
Because like, didn't T-Pain do that?
A bunch of celebrities
have. Yeah, like T-Pain. But like, T-Pain's like on a good track now. Like, he ended up, like, thank God, that was cool. But like, T-Pain was even talking about like, not even having enough money to like
buy. So 2 Chainz' net worth right now is 12 mil.
12 mil.
12 mil?
Yeah. It's not bad.
It's still something.
But yeah, I do think that there's
Net worth is like their assets and stuff. Correct. So he could still have a lot more money. That's off, like, off the
table. Oh, yeah, off if it's not books. Reported, yeah.
Yeah, that's all like, houses and cars and assets that can be sold for a profit for $12 million. And then he could just have a bunch of, have his fingers in all sorts of stuff. I wonder if big rappers, I know some of them will still do, like, drug dealing and stuff and, like, run with their gun. Well, yeah, I know, like, a good amount of them will, but, shit, I just lost what I was kind of going off of on that. I wonder how much the big rappers are into that shit. Like, once they made it, like, I wonder if, like, Jay-Z, like, you know, still, like, kind of, like, on the side is, like, working with, like, his old gang and, like, helping them with, like,
I think it probably comes down to the person themselves. Because then that's a gamble. Anytime that you have relationships with that old tie, you could get it seized and you're in jail then, and then everything's gone.
Yeah, but like, you don't think they care. They're just like, yeah, come at me. Like, look, like, if Jay-Z was doing that, he's a billionaire.
Think of how many...
They come at him.
Jeffrey Epstein was a billionaire. And he was found dead in a prison cell.
That's true.
That was an extremely...
Those are two different guys, though. Very two different.
But if you're saying someone that's like, oh, I've got all the money in the world, I've got all the connections in the world, I'm untouchable. No, that dude should have been untouchable, technically.
No, dude, he was probably, so many people probably wanted him dead because he had so much dirt on so many people.
But he had
like a painting of Clinton.
Yeah,
I think a
dress. Yeah,
yeah, in a dress. Like, what a big like energy move, you know?
No, but what I'm saying though is that mentality. There's no one that's not
touchable. No, exactly. No, people wanted him dead because he has so much dirt. Now the dude's in prison. Like, people die in prison all the time. So many people were probably like, Kill him. Kill him. He's trying to blackmail me. He's got pictures on me. Kill him. Huh?
Which is nuts that it was by suicide. When you have that high profile of a guy in jail, you should be definitely watching him 24/7.
Oh, yeah, but like, exactly. No, it was always, he had so much dirt on so many people in the government. So many people in the government probably wanted him dead. And then once he was dead, they just...
But what I'm saying is there's no one that's...
I mean, it was the same thing with the guy that I was talking about this on another episode I was here. The guy that killed Kennedy. And then he got killed, and then the guy that killed Oswald in prison went insane. Like, he just went insane, and they were just like, and I forget why they said he was insane or something, but it was total crap. Because it was during the time where they're doing a lot of LSD testing. So what they think, they think someone, like, you know, when they're doing the interrogation, someone just dosed him up. Like, they dosed him up so much that they fried his brain. Mm. And this guy's just now insane.
High possibility.
Dude, I mean, the governments are crazy. You ever just think about, like, what the governments are probably pulling off that we just never see or never hear about? No. Just some nuts stuff.
I get into it, but I try not to. That's one of those things where it's like, can I control it? Nope. So I spend some time, because it is good to be in the know. Like, I absolutely believe that you should at least be in the know and be educated.
You think the governments should tell their citizens everything that they do? Or do you think it is good that they keep some of the stuff off the...
That's a hard decision, too, because at the same time, yes, your government should be transparent, but at the same time, you can't cause mass panic, which is a high possibility with some of the material that they talk about.
But do you think there would be mass panic if that was... If the culture was...
Are you... Look at COVID.
No, but I'm saying, so say instead of having a government that was secretly, like, that's the world we live in, right? Yeah. What if from the get-go, the government was always just forthcoming? You think there would have been a mass panic, or they'd be like, hey, guys, something's happening right now. But, you know, as always, when we share stuff like this, we'll work through it. We're going to get through it. Everyone would be like, all right, guys, we do this. Because it's already...
Yeah, if there was a long history of transparency from the government that show true transparency.
Exactly.
That actually we had the best intentions for you guys as a society and people. Would then that happen? No, probably not, because people would be like, okay, you know, this is happening, and the government would probably be able to give instruction without too much pushback as well, and people would trust with it. Because if it was a long history of, again, transparency where it was like the government really has our best intentions at heart, then yeah, it would be fine.
What a world, right? What a world we'd be living in.
Yeah, well, that's what, welcome to greed and, unfortunately, a sinful world.
I don't know. Well, I was talking, what was crazy, I was talking to, yeah, they really think, I mean, I see the U.S., I mean, losing their top dog position pretty soon, which is sad. I mean, that's just, like...
I don't know. I think that there's going to be a pretty big change in culture.
I mean, there's change in culture all the time now. No, it's like a like, daily
think
thing.
Think about how aggressive change is right now, though.
What do you think? Well, okay, what change do you think you see? What do you see?
I think
coming?
You're going to see a pretty big pushback on a lot of the agendas that have been pushed recently.
You're talking about like the LGBT agendas. Like
Target,
and,
I mean, Target. Look at Bud Light.
Oh, yeah, and Bud Light. That was crazy. Not billions. No one's ever seen, like, billions, it was like a mainstream company come down that fast.
Yep. Billions of dollars lost. And they're never going to recover. They haven't recovered.
No.
They no longer will be.
Just,
and the
yeah,
chances
just
of them
because of that, that one marketing
but
lady.
That's what tells me that goes, okay, most of society does have a pretty good set of, like, you know, boundaries. And a lot of them didn't speak
but you,
up.
But do you think they crossed a boundary in pushing that? If that's, like, I mean, they were, like,
yeah,
they thought they were being
it was
inclusive
on,
and,
yeah,
like, you
Target
know.
Target was for but, children's
but,
clothes.
No, but also, like, look at...
Oh, the whole Target thing?
Children's
yeah, that,
clothes.
That was
a big
well,
I'm
that,
sorry.
Yeah, that's,
children shouldn't
that's
be involved
I mean, a
in
beard.
That.
I think it was a stupid marketing tactic
but
because...
But even the beard... But what I'm saying, though, is why...
They're market it, they're, to the guys.
But they're being inclusive to what?
Exactly.
How
no, what was
the,
dumb is
big,
they didn't look at their
how big of the population
demographic.
Yeah, I would say how
their
big
demographic
of the
is not that crowd.
And that's what I mean is by some of the you know, the demographic that is pushing that is so small. Like,
yeah.
Do I believe in fair voice and fair treatment? Of
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, we're all
but what, you know, with Bud Light, you're right. Why wouldn't they have looked at their demographic and been like, all right, most of our people are blue collar, family oriented customers. Why wouldn't you get someone that? Represents
that yeah.
to be your spokesperson.
No,
why did you
I,
take
it's
such,
because a it's such
a 10%, 8% spot?
No, I think, see, that's why I think that your culture shift's going to happen.
That's what I'm saying.
Is because I think being inclusive, everyone is willing to do that.
Oh,
yeah,
well, yeah.
Yeah, we can start here in a second. Yeah. We'll end off with this and let you talk real quick. Then we can. Yeah. But everyone has the ability to be inclusive. I think everyone wants to be. Like, I don't care. You can be gay. You can be trans. I don't care what you want to be. You want to be known as a tiger. Whatever. Cool. Like, I don't care. As long as you're being you, go ahead. I'll be me. I'm not going to hate on you. I'm not gonna tell you what you're doing is wrong, because at the end of the day, you're going to make your own life decisions. I think everyone in the world – I mean, not everyone in the world. But a lot of people are willing to be inclusive. It's just now how much it's been forced. It's no longer asking, hey, be inclusive. It's like, you're going to be now. That's what our culture is. You're going to be.
Well, I think
you're going to accept
them.
You're going to accept
me. Well,
you
have to be careful when you say inclusive, because I do believe that, yes, everyone wants to live peacefully.
Yeah.
But no, you don't have to be inclusive.
Okay, yeah, that's what I mean.
If you don't agree with someone's life views or anything, you do not have to interact or...
No, okay, yeah. No, you don't have to include them into your life. I'm saying inclusive as far as, like, accepting. Like, you can be, like...
Accepted.
Yeah.
Exactly. You can be like, cool, man. Hey, you can do you. Yeah, exactly. You can... Yeah, everyone's a human being. You can just show everyone a human being respect.
It's the decency.
It's now that it's being forced. It's being pushed
so much.
And pushed
on children.
Pushed
on children.
Yeah, the children part.
But now we're going on a... Like, they were already pushing. I mean, look at, like, the last decade. And it's already becoming as – it was rising, all these different agendas, all these different views, rising. And now everyone wants to push theirs so freaking bad. And that's going to be the snapback. Like, with Bud Light, I think that was one of the first snapbacks where they're like, I'm tired of being forced all this crap on me. You know what? Screw you guys.
Yeah.
And it is cancel culture too, though.
Yeah,
well, a lot of people are afraid of the cancel culture.
Yeah,
but now I, you know, and that's what I'm hoping happens is that if there is a pushback, then you have some normal.
I wouldn't say everyone's scared of the cancel culture anymore. That's why I love comedians.
like I say, like a lot of the comedian like culture.
Now, but there was a there was a period of fearful were getting canceled.
Yeah, there was a fear.
Look at Kevin Hart; he's came back from a few cancellations.
Exactly. I think then people started realizing, no, this there's not power here. There is if the masses go against you, but like, hey, if I'm just like I don't care, and everyone's like, oh, he doesn't even care. Like, oh, that's just him doing him. Like, there's a real, they don't cancel you when they realize you don't care. Yeah. Like, go ahead, dude. I don't care.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily they don't cancel. They may try to. But if then, again, there's enough people that are like, no, this doesn't offend me and I enjoy this content.
Yeah.
That's the masses. Like you said, it's all about the masses. And unfortunately, what had happened was I think the masses believed that that voice was so strong that if they didn't follow it, they were going to get roped into the person getting canceled.
Yeah.
And now what people have realized, in my opinion, is, oh, wait, the masses are pretty normal people with the usual, you know, set of, like I said, boundaries. And now it's like, okay, there's a small group that might try to cancel you, but in general reality, most people don't care. And they're not going to cancel you, so yeah. Continue.
It's so crazy how people will just waste energy on caring about what someone else is doing. Mm-hmm. It's like the amount of energy people waste. But also you have to
think about the society we live in. I now have a snapshot of your life at all times. If you're on social media,
yeah,
you have personally invited me into your life at 24/7 times.
Yeah, but like, okay, yeah. So like, enjoy like what I'm putting out, like the amount of people waste their energy. Like, oh, I hate what this guy is doing.
But they have that opportunity. So that's what I'm saying is that you now. That's the only reason it happens is because now I have the opportunity to do it. Oh, and I can do it from a keyboard. Which means I don't have to physically conflict with you or physically have conflict with you. Yeah. Now I have power.
What a mentally weak person.
No, I agree. But that's exactly. But think about that's why why do you think they latch onto that? Because that's a feeling of power. That's the only power they have at this moment.
I've never felt powerful like being on the other side of a screen breaking into someone. Yeah. I've been in them trolling battles and I always feel like I feel less, after that, I feel kind of icky.
There's a lot of people that draw power from that and feel like they're.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. I guess on that note, we'll end because I only had you guys for a quick sec, but at least hey, I got you for a little bit.
Like and then we'll do a longer one.
We'll hit a longer one, more fun and just go into all sorts of stuff. But yeah, no, we'll appreciate you guys just doing even a quick one.
Yeah,
sitting absolutely.
Down out here in Berkey. Any last minute things?
It's Burke. It's not Berkey.
It's what?
The boys say it like that. The white boys.
What do you guys? Is
Burke?
Burke.
Burke. You have to roll your R.
Burke.
Burke. Burke.
I don't know about that.
Burke. I can't roll my R's. Can you roll yours? Yes.
I really can't.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for listening, guys. As always, continue just living your best lives and just being you. Accept other people. Well, again, Nathan, Jen, thank you guys for coming on, and hopefully, look forward to doing a future episode with you guys where we can go deeper into stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, right on, guys. We'll keep being you.
Love is a funny thing. It takes you where you least expect it and throws you out to sea. Or you can either choose to swim or surround yourself with water and let it take you in. If there's something that you wanna know, ah, oh. If there's something, show me where to go, ah, oh. If there's something that you wanna know, ah, oh. If there's something, show me where to go, ah, oh. And I will give myself to you, I will give myself to you, ooh.